going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for some NFL draft overreaction or reality. All right. Now, some of these are more specific things about the happenings of the day. Some of them are just general NFL draft questions for you. NFL overreaction or reality. The Cowboys will draft a wide receiver and a running back today. Today, not in the draft, today.
Reality.
Okay.
I mean, those positions are, we've discussed this for a while now, and I know G-Bag has had this conversation. Broadus does a really good job, even in the coverage, of asking questions that make guys have, that aren't the same questions over and over.
Yeah.
He's asking questions that are going to challenge you to come up with a new scenario. And the Cowboys discussed that they went through hours of mock drafts on their own in order to come up with, you know, ideas. That experience helps because then you feel, you know what your body, your emotions were feeling. Like, I feel comfortable with that rather than we panicked in that moment.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they are in this, we know what we need, but we had discussed, Kevin, the potential of taking an offensive, defensive lineman or a cornerback in the first round because we were like, look, if there is so much, what would we land? And I've come up with Samson out of Tennessee multiple times in the third round. There are plenty of other options in the fourth round. Unfortunately, Kevin, you do not have a pick there, but that's a different story for a different day.
Okay.
There are a couple of really good receivers still left in this round too. And Steven just told us we have first round grades on people still left in
multiple people
in this second round here. And at 12, Kevin, you could probably list off 12 players that you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And now half of them might go real fast and you start going, okay, what are we going to do here? But the Cowboys were patient, let that fall to them. I do think that today they will address those places unless there is a player that we don't know that's higher on their board. Somebody asked a minute ago, when will we see their board? We won't. We'll hear whispers about
so
it.
You think?
I don't. When was the last time you saw their board, really?
I don't remember what year that was.
We didn't even see it, though. Like, we kind of had an idea. Yeah. But that being said, we won't. And it's just like poker. You're not going to show somebody your cards for free. They don't want to show people what their board looked like for free. So we'll get whispers of what they liked. Hopefully they stick to it. Like Steven just said, look, the board gives you the good ideas. We went through the process of it all, and we're ready and prepared. Somebody did ask, though, on the fan text, Kevin, does that mean they're not typically prepared for this? I think that this year was back to what Will McClay does best. And hearing Broadus talk about this a lot over the last month or so, maybe Mike McCarthy and them didn't quite, not see eye to eye, but have the same vision.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
So hopefully they're back to what they do best.
All right, Alec, I actually want to ask you a variation of this question then. NFL overreaction or reality, the Cowboys have Luther Burden as a first-round grade and are desperately going to try to get him today.
Ooh. That is really specific.
I think that could be one of their guys, though.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say this is a reality.
Yes.
there was a lot of talk. We were talking about it at the City View Pluckers last night. A lot of people were bringing him up, and they're like, oh, you know, if all things were equal throughout his college career, if this last season didn't kind of fizzle out in a weird way, then he's an unquestioned first rounder because he can destroy a game. And I even heard Bobby talking about that a little bit this morning on the morning show. Like, he can wreck a game just by himself. He is that good. But there might be the whole, and we've talked about it all week now, the whole does he love football thing? Does he really care? I don't think the Cowboys really care about that. I think they say, look, we have some interesting characters on the team. We've had some on the team in the past. If he plays good, I mean, Amari Cooper doesn't really love football, does he?
Sure.
But he's still a perennial, you know, 1,000-yard receiver every single year, it feels like. So I think they value the player, and I think they would love to have him.
NFL overreaction or reality? You wish teams, especially the number one pick, who knew exactly who they were going to take and weren't interested in trading, would just make their damn pick already.
Reality.
Oh, I can't stand it.
The last eight picks in that draft seemed like it took an eternity.
Yeah.
I don't know what took longer, those last eight picks or Blackwell getting to that puck and putting it home. Like, it just took forever. And they were like, oh, hold on, we made a trade. Now we got to take all the time. Why'd you make the trade? You knew what you wanted when you got there. It shouldn't take this long. I'm with you, dude. Cam Ward should have been immediately. Goodell shouldn't have walked up, and I get it. Like, I get the idea of it. Like, Goodell goes up there and he has to give his speech and get everybody pumped up. And now Cam Ward, let's go wait 7 minutes.
And try to make them boo
now. That didn't make any sense. The Golden pick was interesting. And I go back to, they set that up for a big dramatic moment, right? Yeah. Like, that was, the guy goes up there to give the speech and he's getting everybody, all the cheese heads all rowdy, and they finally make the pick. And then it's 2 hours before Golden gets down the hallway. But I really do. That was a pretty special moment to be drafted in front of the crowd that you're going to be playing in front of, and they're pumped for you. That's a pretty cool moment right there.
Alec?
I hate the whole theatrics of the draft in general, especially the first pick. Like, my mind instantly goes to Joe Burrow a few years ago. That, outside of Cam Ward, felt like the most obvious in years. And it still took probably 8.5 minutes for the little graphic to say the pick is in. And like Corey said, I get it. They want the player to have their moment where they get the phone call. And are you ready to be a Tennessee Titan? Okay, here's your head coach. Okay, here's your offensive coordinator. Hey, here's the equipment staff guy, because you're going to be talking to him a lot, I guess. You know, so it's a lot. It's just way too much. Just make the pick and move on.
All right. Since you guys went that direction, I'm going to stick with this. NFL overreaction or reality? You don't understand what the hell ESPN and Goodell are waiting for when making these picks. And what I mean by that is, you'll see the the pick's in. We'll bring it to you in 8 minutes. And then when the pick gets made and they're like, hey, the next team has 3 minutes on the clock. And you're like, hold on. So they made this pick 7 minutes ago? What are we doing?
They still haven't announced it yet.
Yes. We're still,
you know what they're waiting on, Kevin? They got to make that jersey. They got to put their names on the back of the jersey before they walk out there with the number one on it. Somebody did ask me that last night. They were like, how are they getting these made so fast? And I was like, that's what they have somebody specifically back there ready to rock. And as soon as the pick gets submitted, based on how long the name is, because, I mean, if the more letters, the longer it's going to take.
True.
I don't understand why they keep doing that. Again, it just goes into the theatrics. It's really annoying. I'm like, the draft in general is just overblown. I've always said that. Like, it really is just a giant party that does not need to be as substantial is the word I'm looking for. As it is, it's all annoying in my mind. So I'm right there with Corey.
The 817. What I hate is making it a 3-day event for ratings. Doing it all on one Saturday is still my preference. I loved it. I loved that Saturday. I would be usually...
For the record, that's not how they did it either.
What?
They did it on Saturday and Sunday.
Nobody cared about Sunday, though.
Wow, in your face, Broadus.
Broadus did.
Okay.
But I remember Saturdays, like, being at softball tournaments, you know, playing with my dad, and we'd go play softball, and everybody's sitting under the speaker. And we would all be sitting under the speaker listening to the draft, and then a pick would be made. We'd all holler and then run back out onto the field. Like, that was a fun Saturday. It was a long Saturday. And this Saturday will be long.
Yes.
Like, it will still be long, but You will not get better coverage of the players that you don't know about than you will right here on 105 Through the Fan this Saturday.
All right. Well, we got Corey's answer. This was actually one of my questions. NFL overreaction or reality? You wish the NFL draft still started Saturday morning and was only 2 days.
Actually, Kevin, I like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
What you just said?
Because I would like two rounds on Thursday, though. I would like two rounds and shorter times between the picks.
3 minutes.
That's fine. 2 minutes. I'm perfectly fine with that. It really shouldn't take that long. But yeah, I like the way it is now. I loved the way that it was when it was just Saturday and nobody cared about Sunday but brought us.
Alex?
I'm more in favor of less days. Like, okay. I don't care. It could take all day. You know, it could be all day Saturday and be done with it. I don't think it, because the NBA is trying to, you know, steal this formula too. And eventually every pro sport is going to try this out too, where they're like, oh, if we put programming on TV multiple days, that means we can charge advertisers for more ads and we can make more money. Like, I get it. I totally understand it. But as a viewer, it's painful. It's like, I got other stuff I want to do in life. I want to actually do my research on the draft after it happens. I don't want to wait 3 days for it to be done. I want it to be over with so I can get my homework done and look ahead to training camp. But it'll never be like that.
NFL overreaction or reality? You were on Twitter while watching or listening to the draft so you can know the picks ahead of time.
Jordan Schultz did pretty well for a while. And then
he fell off.
Yeah. And it was right around the Colston Loveland pick that he stopped. And I was like, what happened, dude? So that's around pick 10. And I was like, oh man, like it's not as fast as it was. Who else? Wasn't Woj in on this 1 year? He was like, I got y'all. Don't worry about this.
Oh yeah. He's like, I got a feeling.
Yeah. And then who was the person this year that was doing it other than Schultz? Was there anybody else that you were following that had a really good tune in on this thing?
Aaron Wilson.
Yes. That's a good one.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No, I definitely wanted to kind of see just a little bit earlier.
All right. What about you, Alec? Do you wait until
you were trying to help some Pluckers people?
It's a reality, and I was trying to help Pluckers people, but specifically I was trying to help the kitchen staff out with the specials. That was the formula, was if I could see the pick ahead of time, I'd run over and tell them, hey, we're about to have this special going on because they got the pick right. And then we would wait for it to be announced on TV. But it was just my friendly way of telling the staff and the GM, hey, we're about to have this deal. But yeah, Jordan Schultz failed me. After the Chicago Bears area, I was like, dude. Yeah. Then that's when I went to Aaron Wilson's page, and he was just listing them all off, and I was like, that's my guy.
NFL overreaction or reality, you felt bad for Shedeur Sanders last night.
I can't say I did, because honestly, there aren't a lot of times I feel bad for these guys. They're going to play in a league where they get a lot of money. Where they get picked later on down the road really won't matter. Second contract, people need to forget about where they were picked at that point. So I don't know how he's going to handle it. I feel kind of a little bit for Deion, because you were a great athlete.
Yeah.
You were a top pick. You ended up, you're a Hall of Famer. You did all these great things. And this kid's trying to live up to you. Quite honestly, we're all trying to live up to dad in some way, shape, or form and get their approval. And now he's got to be putting his arm around him saying, look, you know you have love from this family no matter what. We're going to figure out how to get you to the next level and all these things. I did not feel bad for him. He still has an opportunity to be in the league, and a lot of people don't get that shot.
I felt a little bit bad because I felt like a lot of it wasn't necessarily his fault. Some of it is just kind of the inherent nature of your dad is Deion Sanders, and Deion Sanders is Deion Sanders. Another part of it is it was just a media mess, you know, the past 4 months. Is he good? Is he not? You know, padding the ball. I've talked about it for months now that I thought some of the different angles that different people were taking just because.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We needed to fill time, you know, leading up to the draft. I thought we're dumb and misplaced, but do I disagree with him sliding? No, I'm going to trust NFL teams' evaluations more than mine. I think he will be a successful quarterback. I think he still can succeed. So that's one reason that I do feel bad. But from what we've heard from, you know, some of these trusted reporters, he might not have done himself any favors in the interview process. Yeah. So that's where I'm like, okay, if he bombed the interviews, that's his fault.
NFL overreaction or reality, there's no way you're cleaning up after the baby on the night you go in the first round of the draft. Now, oh man, Corey has an immediate thought. Now, I'm sure this happens frequently, but Kelvin Banks Jr., right when he's getting the call, his baby is throwing up on... Yeah. I assume the mom. To be fair, I didn't research
the person
that.
Holding him.
Yeah, the person holding the baby. You get taken in the first round of the draft, overreaction or reality, there is no way you're cleaning up after the baby that day.
I don't know if Chiafalo can hear me right now. I know he's in the building right now. They were discussing this the other day because Eric woke up and everybody in his house was puking their guts up.
Oh,
and he was trying to have to figure out how to like manage this. And he said he was doing it. He was the one doing the cleanup service. That's not me in my house. All right. I want to tell you this right now, Kevin. It was a Christmas Eve. Everybody in my house got sick except for me and Adrian.
Oh.
In the middle of the night. Avery was the first one. Room covered. And Adrian is like, I just had to clean his entire room. And I was like, oh man, that's tough. And then the next thing I know, Carter comes in. He's got it too. Lucy wakes up, same thing. You know what Corey never did? Helped. Because Corey doesn't do that part. All right. I changed diapers. But I do not do the throw up or the spit up. That is okay. A Corey. All right. One of the reasons I don't like to hold your baby, not you in particular, but other people's babies. I don't want to have to deal with that part. Babies spit up all the time. It happens. And yes, Kevin, if I am on draft night, I have too many people I have to talk to in order to get all these things taken care of. You can take care of that baby for at least one night. I'll be right there for that kid anytime he needs me, unless he's throwing up.
Alec?
I want to take a different angle. I want to give credit to the baby, because if I just found out that I got generational wealth, I'm probably puking everywhere too, if we're being totally honest. So
that actually makes a lot of sense.
At that point, I'm feeling, you know, like I kind of coexist with the baby at the moment. I'm saying, you know what? Me too. If I'm, you know, mom holding the baby, I'm like, yeah, me too. You know what? I'll join you. Serendipity. Why not?
He's going to New Orleans. I mean, you smelled that street.
Wow. NFL overreaction.
They watch it every night for that purpose.
Or reality, as a player, you'd rather go to the NFL draft than have a party at your house.
I don't know. We could do an entire segment on this because I don't know. The experience of getting to dress up, be sharp, and look good in front of everybody and have all those people travel with me would be an absolute blast. Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You'll never be able to do it again. I mean, Luca said that whenever he won Rookie of the Year. I'll never be able to win this award again. I absolutely would love that experience. But more people, I'm going to have a bigger party of my people at my house. And I love to have a party at the house. I'm probably jumping in the pool even though it's cold. Like, I'm having a good one. So I have not made up my mind which decision I would make. I would probably just let Adrian decide.
Alec?
I like that angle. I don't have anybody to decide for me, so I got to make this choice. You know what? I think I'd rather be there because I do want that moment of, you know, bear hugging the commissioner, whether everybody hates him or not, getting the jersey, you know, looking in the mirror, making sure the hat's on perfectly. All of that stuff, I feel like that's part of the experience, and I would want that because I'll carry that with me forever. But I do understand hanging out with the family.
Bonus question. The hallway at the NFL draft was the longest hallway in the world.
Way too complicated.
I did think I really did think it was cool when they stopped and put the hat on in front of the camera. I thought that was pretty cool, but yes.
It's like, you still got a ways.
That's why I think I love Tyler Booker even more. because he was running down the hallway. He was like, I got to get to this. I got to get it out. And what did he do right afterwards? Ran out there and was taking pictures with all the Cowboys. Like, he's excited about this thing.
All right. I know we got to go. I just came up with one more bonus one. NFL overreaction or reality. You would think that your draft pick was going to be badass if he picked up Roger Goodell and accidentally broke one of his ribs while hugging him.
For sure.
Yeah, I could see that.
Would he get sued, though?
He didn't do it on purpose.
It was the excitement, boss.
Yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. We will go back to the phones, 877-881-1053. If you want to call in right now, give us your reaction to the Tyler Booker pick, what tonight holds for the Dallas Cowboys. Plus, we'll do some Forgiveness Friday. All of it next right here on The Fan.
The Houston Texans have traded the 25th pick to the New York Giants. With the 25th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Jackson Dart, quarterback, Mississippi.
Now, that reaction right there, I think because once the trade up was, I think a lot of people assumed it was going to be for Shador, especially when it was New York, even though we've talked about this for a long time. There are plenty of teams in this draft that had Jackson Dart rated over Shador Sanders. Yep. And so I was not surprised, but man, you hear that crowd. They're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, that was the general consensus at my pluckers last night. There were a lot of people that were like, this is Shador. And then before the pick was made, they'd already made their mind up that they were furious that it was Jackson Dart. Like, people didn't even know yet, but they were just like already upset. And I was like, Dable told us this. Dable told us that he liked him a lot. So that fell that way. The question immediately was, is he going to start over Russell Wilson? And I was like, here's how the order is. It's Russell Wilson for 6 games. And then after that, it's Jackson Dart. Jameis Winston is there for TV purposes.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston is, look, man, say what you want to about his on-field stuff. He is a hilarious personality off-field. And there's other things, too. But that is the order. It is those three guys, and Jackson Dart is probably the number two. Russell Wilson is going to have his opportunities to be the veteran, to kind of show the guy the bathroom and all the things around the place.
Now, we promised to take some phone calls here, 877-881-1053. Let's go to Jeremy in Brock. What were your thoughts about what the Cowboys did yesterday and what they might do today?
Hey, first off, I just want to say I love you guys. Y'all make the world a better place.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And you too.
Yeah, man. Y'all have no idea. I got sick, was paralyzed real quick, and I learned to walk by listening to you guys on the radio. Y'all make a difference that is compounded in so many ways you can understand. I love the pick. It seems like Tyler is playing for something. You know, Shador Sanders, he's a millionaire whether he succeeds or fails. Where the intensity, the love for the game, it's disappearing from the fabric, you know, of where it started off at. You know, people used to play so they could set their families up.
Yeah.
People used to play because they wanted to win. They wanted to be the best. And now these kids, I mean, what was the incentive? They're a millionaire when they're in college. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. I don't know how much to do. He acts like he doesn't even want to play.
Now, yeah, thank you so much for that phone call. I think that's a great point that we talked about yesterday or the day before, because Jay Glazer said there started being more questions about, like, hey, do you love football? How much do you love football? Because of those exact things. By the way, that's such a nice phone call. Thank you so much.
Kevin, I told you this morning, and last night was kind of a reiteration of this. Sometimes I don't realize we make a big difference in people's lives until I get out and people tell us how important it is. And I don't even, like, that moment right there.
I had no idea that was going to happen.
Like, yeah. I don't realize that there's a dude out there probably right now who's going through something like that. And he's like, these guys are cracking me up. I'm staying strong here because I know I can get this rolling. Man, that's an awesome story. And I'm very happy that we were a small part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Just real quick, as long as we're on to that, I wanted to take the chance to thank Albert Limos, and Nick and Sam's, because as you know, I had a friend, his niece, she just passed away. She was diagnosed with cancer and she's a freaking teenager, man. Like it's so terrible. And so one of their bucket list things was to just have the most amazing night out on the town. And so Alba Limo was like, yeah, I got you. What do we need to do? Like, let's make this happen. And then Nick and Sam's, they were like, hey, you know, maybe take care of your waiter. But other than that, like, don't worry about anything. We will take care of everything for you. And I just really appreciate everybody helping Ellie out. That was really nice.
The 817 new slogan, 105.3, making people walk again. We didn't force it. So I don't know that we made it, but we were helpful in part of it, if you will.
I mean, that's delightful.
He made himself walk again.
Yes. Like, I'll
give him credit.
Yeah, I'm sure he meant while he was learning to walk again. I don't think he heard the combo platter and he's like, That's it.
Maybe he did. Maybe the combo platter did it for him.
I guess. But like, seriously, that was an amazing call and I had no freaking idea.
From the 682, I don't know where this old man sponsor bit came from, but I'm enjoying it. I just want to let y'all know, Dickie said, hey, I want you to go over the top. And I said, okay. I went over the top and they said, we want more over the top. And I was like, I don't know how much further I can go here. But I'm glad I did it because Kevin and Alec, I get to see their faces light up and smile.
Commercial. Oh, I think it's the best commercial we have on the station. Oh, man, I would kill somebody for Dickie's barbecue. Like, I think we need to juxtapose Tyler Booker talking about, like, the light going out of a competitor's eyes. Because that's what happens when Corey doesn't get his barbecue. He's like, oh, man. By the way, I'm sorry, just real quick. Also, in that group, the Adolphus Hotel, they essentially were like, hey, we've done stuff with Make-A-Wish before. We will make it magical. And their questions weren't, well, how much can you pay? Blah, blah, blah. Their questions like, what can we do? And when do you need it?
I used to think, Kevin, you were a heartless, soulless man. Ugh,
stupid Noah's really messed this up.
You've proven me completely wrong. And I've known you for a long time. I've known you for almost 20 years at this point in our lives. True. Dude, we're almost to the point where we've known each other longer than we didn't know each other.
Oh, deep, man. Deep.
Alec, one day you'll get there too.
All right, let's go to Brian in Irving. What are your thoughts about the Cowboys' pick of Tyler Booker and any particular things you want to see tonight?
Hey, guys. I'm so happy to be on. Glad to be a listener, glad to be a fan. I've been for a long time. You guys are great. Just want to say I'm very happy with the pick. I love whenever we get offensive line in the first round. I want it every year, almost every year, pretty much. I want the most stacked offensive line in the entire NFL. I want depth coming out of our ears for the Cowboys. I couldn't be happier with Booker. He seems like a great kid. He seems like he's really focused and into the game and really happy to be a part of the team. I couldn't be more happy for him to be here.
I love it.
Great call, man.
And that's one of the things. I'm curious how much people weigh this. Because like we talked about it, Bobby says consensus was Booker was top 20. There's other like consensus infographics you see out there that say like 27. How much do you factor in like the player? I know some people are concerned about his athleticism, but how much he's going to care, he's going to try, he's going to hopefully be a leader in that locker room. And by the way, I love that he followed up with an answer last night, too, about his athleticism. And he's like, you know what, I feel like I did pretty good in the SEC for 3 straight years.
You know what?
Yeah, go check out the tape.
That's a dude that's confident in his work. And he's like, hey, I know I'm watching myself after games, and I'm judging myself and what I'm doing, what I can do. I can only do what I can. And I'll just take advantage of everything I got there. And last year's, Steven just mentioned it with the leadership part of it. Whenever we asked, he's like, look, you lost 2 Hall of Famers that spent a long portion of their career, potentially Tyron Smith. I know you don't like him.
No, you've always said that. Wrong. Don't put that on me. I said because of how the Hall of Fame votes, I think they're going to make it a pain for him.
But that being said, like they did lose 2 dudes that were very well respected in the league, very well respected when you walked into the room too. So yeah. Now they have to replace that in some way, shape, or form. So I love hearing that they found a guy they are confident in. Not that it was bad last year. I'm not like, but they knew they needed a replacement there. They wanted that kind of high character culture group. So again, you don't have to ask them to work. It seems like from what I'm hearing, Tyler Guyton is being asked to do some extra things. He's being asked, hey, why aren't you putting in that extra effort to get it done with? And maybe whenever he sees another pick comes in the door and he starts looking around, if he's the alpha in the room and he's younger than you and he's standing there going, guys, I'm doing this, why aren't you? Man, now it's time for you to be better.
Let's go to Abel in Arlington. What did you think about the Cowboys pick yesterday? Anything you're looking forward to this evening?
Hey, fellas, I appreciate the call. I like the pick. I mean, it is kind of like what Dallas does, build the offensive lineup. But like I stated on Facebook, we did need to replace Zach Martin,
yep,
or at least attempt to, so I appreciated that. He's a good kid. Like he said, check his stats. I mean, I think it was only he gave up, what, 3 sacks in 3 years or something like that in the SEC, so he seems that he can fit that spot. Overall, I think we do just need to get a couple of, you know, guys on the perimeter or, you know, another running back. But we do need to get somebody to help with CD because, you know, we move CD around a lot, which we can still do. But to make life easier for Dak, CD, and everybody else, just get somebody else there to help him out to where he can, you know, just do what he needs to do and somebody else can take some of the load off of him. But I appreciate the call and I appreciate the pick that they made. I think it's going to be pretty good for us.
I love that. And by the way, wide receiver has that. If you're looking for a trend, wide receiver has been heavy today. That's what people want to see. Just as an aside note, could we change the sports radio game?
That we start calling people?
Yes.
We start calling them up and say, what do you think?
Yeah, when we do call-in segments, we keep like the bank of everybody who ever calls or texts in. And instead of y'all calling us, we decide when we're going to do a call-in segment and we call you.
Hey, you're on the Fan right now. Tell us what you think. Yeah, and they're like, well, I'm in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah, and you're like, well, too bad, Judd. You answered the phone.
I'm
it's your
on
time.
The toilet. Well, don't worry about it. We get, just answer the question.
Now, a lot of talk about Caleb Johnson as well. I think running back and wide receiver would scratch a lot of people's itches tonight, but that's going into it in theory because you have no idea how the board is going to fall. Maybe one of these couple players that they have on the board have a totally different position that the Cowboys still have as a first-round prospect. And then you get to 44. Are you really going to pass that up? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Now, we haven't had a chance to play this today. I was wondering, Alec, real quick, can we go to cut number 4? This is the secret audio that we got from the Fan last night of Tyler Booker just, you know, being stoked, finding out that he's going to go to the Cowboys.
Hey, this is Jerry Jones with the Cowboys. We're turning you in.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Congratulations, boy. We're glad to have you as a Cowboy.
I'm glad to be a Cowboy. I'm glad to keep the O-line tradition. Thank you.
Okay, well, man, listen, we're proud of you. Congratulations. Tell you folks how proud we are of you. But here's your coach.
Will do.
Here's your head coach.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tyler, Coach Shoddy, man.
What's going on, Coach?
Hey, man. Hey, listen, you blew us away in the process, brother. Here's what we need. You just come here, be you. You kick ass. Welcome to the family. We are so excited. We just want that same dude every day. Be physical and do what you do, man.
Yeah, so you're going to get as long as you can listen to that. Whitney Houston, you was listening to that day.
Yeah, hey, no doubt about that, man. Hey, I want you to talk to our offensive coordinator, Clayton Adams. Hey,
okay.
Congratulations, man.
Yes, sir.
So fired up. You're a Cowboy, baby.
Yes, sir.
All right, hold on. Here's Coach Adams.
Okay.
Book, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Congratulations, brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
I am so freaking fired up that you're coming, man. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Let's go. Let's move the freaking line of scrimmage now, huh?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Here's Mr.
Yes,
Jones,
sir.
Okay?
Okay.
Your offensive coordinator is a true offensive coach lineman at heart. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir. I know that.
Oh, you know that. Okay, well, you know him, but you got a lot of backing. I'm an old offensive lineman. I'm an old offensive lineman, believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe it.
They always are the best looking. They're the smartest, and they own the damn team. So that's an offensive.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Hey. Oh, yeah, best looking for sale. You see my suit today.
All right. Hey, listen, good to have you here.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be a Cowboy.
A lot of support in this room.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Okay. I can't wait to get there and get to work.
All right, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to y'all soon.
Couple things there.
Did it seem like Jerry was in a hurry at the beginning?
From the 817, did Jerry call on a microwave? Yeah, at first I was like, that audio there, but...
I gotta go.
By the time you got to Coach Adams, it was nice and clear. You know, it was nice and smooth. Brian Schottenheimer introduces himself as Coach Shoddy, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. That being said, every time I hear him talk lately, I like him a little bit more. And it's just, he's saying the right things. And we've said this, Kevin, we said this multiple times leading up to him being hired. If it's Brian Schottenheimer, he's going to win every press conference. When he talks, he is somebody you can really be like, man, he's saying what I want to hear about this. And I don't think he just says it to say it. We interviewed him. He believes the things that he says because he grew up with that lifestyle. You know, he grew up in a coach's room all the time. So hearing him talk to his players this way, I feel like that's real. That's not faked, not manufactured. Although some of the... Is Hulk Hogan in that room, brother? Because, brother, there's a lot of that being thrown around, and I was just like, I don't know. But
yeah, I think if he was, they wouldn't have made this pick.
All right.
Oh, because it's wrestling instead of football. I get it.
Now, from the 214, I know we need receiver and running back, but what about making a move for Will Johnson? Can't believe he fell out of the first round. Now, we talked about this earlier today. There are concerns about his knee and medical concerns, and that's why he fell out of the first round. But going back to what Steven said earlier, he said we only had 13 first-round grades. We have multiple first-round grades still on the board. I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of them. Obviously, I did not get to see the medicals myself, so maybe that was a disqualify for them in the first round as well, but I'm intrigued to see where Will Johnson goes.
Can you? I'm trying to do the math here. How many total picks are there in the first three rounds? Is it 98? Is that
96?
96. Yesterday, driving in to Pluckers to get ready for the party, I do believe it was Nick Harris said that he had 100 first through third round grades. So there are going to be some in his mind, some leftover in the fourth round, which they don't have a pick there, but. You have lots of grades that he feels confident in the first 100 players on his board.
And I'm sorry, they start awarding comp picks in the third. There are six comp picks, okay. I believe, so there's 102.
Okay, so there you go. You're feeling pretty confident that you're going to get a good player in the next two rounds.
Yes.
If you're the Cowboys, especially being at pick 12, they got a lot of work to do. It's a lot of work to make sure they get the right people here, though.
And from the 903, what about these two trades Jerry and Steven said they were working on? Again, this is why you got to turn it on, leave it on. We asked Steven about that in the 1130 segment, and he said they are still in the mix, but also then added that they're not dependent on the draft.
Right.
So it does not sound like these trades, I get why it would work during the draft because you'd probably be doing some sort of draft compensation. But it did not sound like he thought it was dependent on it happening this weekend.
And quite honestly, Kevin, and maybe it's not this weekend's picks either that they're willing to move on from. They got next year's draft picks, too, that they could utilize in this process. But why close any options off when you're in round two?
Sure.
You want to make sure you have everything at your disposal to be able to say, this is what we're going to rock with. No, this is actually... Hey, man, we just got presented something. We're prepared for it because we have other options. And there are a lot of other teams that are just as prepared. There are a lot of other teams that aren't. And I don't have a clue what they're doing.
And if you think Mike Green is the guy, I know that is another person.
On the field, dude. That dude.
Out of the first round that people were shocked by.
Yeah, there's still a lot of names. The Will Johnson thing, that injury seemed to be the main reason for that. And then as we were hearing, Kevin, with the first round, character was a big deal. Jay Glazer was saying, love of football is a big deal for a lot of these guys that they're taking the first. I wonder if that changes as you get further down and you're like, hey, the talent really is there.
Do you think over the next couple of years, players will adjust knowing this? Like future draft classes will adjust just strictly in terms of answering that do you love football question and just knowing like, hey, for my pocketbook, yeah, I love football, or a more contemporary reference about money.
I don't know any job that you really want, that you've ever really wanted, that you've ever applied for, that when you were asked a question like that, you're like, well, not really, except for this. I'll give you an example. I went to interview for a real estate broker's job.
Oh.
And I was talking to the guy, and he was like, do you love this? And I was like, I'll be honest, dude, I'm just trying to make some cash. And, and he, after we got done talking, he goes, look, man, I'm going to be honest with you. You have another skill set that's really good. You talk to people, you're personal, but I don't think this is for you. He said, you need to go find what it is that you love, and then you're going to be happy. And I did. I left that interview knowing I'm not going to get that job. I don't really want that job. I was just doing it because I thought I needed to. But right now, I'm going to go pursue something I want. And here, that was the thing that led me here. And I do think that if you really love something, you're never answering no when you're asked that question. If you love football, you're stepping into it saying, I do. But there are a lot of guys that they just look at it and they view it as an opportunity to make some money or something else to do.
Well, the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, you know what? Let's do a little Forgiveness Friday. 877-881-1053. We'll try to still tie some of this into the NFL draft as well, because this is the one that I was like, ooh, that hurts. People digging up the tweets from last year from Deion Sanders, or I'm sorry, Coach Prime. And somebody tweeted him, tell your son to stop acting like the coldest out there when he put up a 4-8 season. Coach Prime responded, he will be a top 5 pick. Where your son going? LOL, I got time today, LOL. Now, on the community notes, or the readers adding context, underneath that added, Shedeur Sanders was not a top 5 pick. And just the way they cut right to the chase of that, man, that felt ruthless and painful.
Yeah, the internet is cruel sometimes.
No kidding.
And undefeated at a lot of times as well.
Yeah.
And this is at the time that he said that, he might have been right. Like he at the time, there was a lot of love for Shedeur when it came to, man, he's got what we're looking for in quarterback. But guess what, man? Film starts getting looked at.
Yeah.
Questions start getting asked. People start making up their minds based on questions and answers. And sometimes you put off somebody and they don't love it. Sometimes maybe it is. A lot of people are saying it's Deion, that like this is a LeVar Ball situation all over again. But it's
I mean, at least Deion did something.
Yeah, no, but a lot of people are just like, that's. And you know what? Mike kept bringing up the same thing. He's only been coached by one guy his whole career.
Yeah.
So at this point, how does he respond whenever another man is trying to tell him how to do his job? Is he going to listen or not? So there are a lot of things that people are unnecessarily unwilling to. Now, the other thing, though, is he gets drafted in second, maybe third round. Does that knock him down a little bit where he's like, you know what? I got a lot to prove. And I do need to be a little more humble. Does it humble him? Did the league humble him already in this draft process? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a good question. Now, do the Atlanta Falcons need to ask for forgiveness? So in their baffling to me trade with the Rams, they essentially gave up compensation of essentially an extra third round pick outside of what the value of the pick is. So, you know, we talk about the value of these charts and everything like that. So Atlanta and the Rams matched up on that value, and then Atlanta gave what would be the equivalent of the 67th pick additionally, besides that value, for somebody in James Pierce Jr. that I know a lot of people have off-the-field concerns about.
Yeah.
Do they need to ask for forgiveness for just not understanding how the value chart works, or being like, the hell with it?
I think for the hell with it part in the first round, okay. You know, like there's lots of other things you can do in that round and change your mind up there.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll give them forgiveness for it.
Now, I warned you that this was going to happen when the Super Bowl came along.
While we were at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes. While we were at the Super Bowl.
Was this when I ran off to talk to my kid's dentist?
No, no. That was super weird, though. That's a real thing that happened.
His best friend runs a giant radio conglomerate. I didn't even know.
But it's weird that you're like, oh, we're at the Super Bowl. Hey, I'll be right back. There's my kid's dentist.
We were going to break.
So does Kendrick Lamar need to ask for forgiveness, or perhaps his label? Because as I told you, Drake has added more people to the defamation lawsuit and has now included the Super Bowl performance as part of his defamation lawsuit. I told you that this was going to happen, whether or not you think it's valid. Like, I'm not here to be the court, but I told you this was going to happen when the Super Bowl performance took place. And here we are.
Was Kendrick Lamar in Houston last night?
Yeah. And Kevin, I think this will answer your question. at least on my side. I'll be at his concert tomorrow at AT&T Stadium. I'll be in the club level, in the 200 level, so if you want to come say hi, if you're going to be out there, I will be out there.
That's big fat no, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little bro mentality. Yeah. You know? And the funny thing is, they're under the same conglomerate label.
Yes.
So he's suing his own label, essentially.
Which I'm sure they're like, hey, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, they're really thrilled about that, I can imagine. So, like, just the messiness of it all, like, I don't think it was worth it. You kind of started the fire. You got to deal with it. You got to put it out now. And this is not the way to go about it. For my money, I think it's just too complicated and too annoying.
Now,
in the 817, Kevin, two things. When I started listening to the show, I was fat because I listened to you. I'm still fat, but I laugh more.
Hey, some of us went from that to skinny back to the other one. So it happens.
That was amazing.
So we talked about the Rangers earlier. But the Colorado Rockies, do the Colorado Rockies need to ask for forgiveness? Do you know what they're on pace to go right now?
I thought you were talking about their City Connect uniforms.
Oh, no. Are those bad?
There is a Rockies fan that was like, they're still awesome. And I was like, I don't know, but.
Was that the person who was giving us the updates yesterday?
They were like, updates
the Rockies have the lead, boys.
The Rockies are immediately down. What are we asking for here?
What are the Colorado Rockies on pace for?
7 and...
Not that. It's not that
okay.
bad.
Okay. The worst run scored ever.
Okay. That actually is possible. But you look back at last year, the Chicago White Sox went 41-121. For the worst winning percentage in modern baseball. They're on pace right now to finish 14 games ahead of the Rockies this year, as the Rockies are on track to go 27 and 135. They are already 12 and a half games back. Consider this. They have 4 wins, which means thus far this season, for every win that Colorado has gotten, they've fallen 3 games out of first place. So for every time Colorado gets a win, that span in between, they've fallen another 3 games back. They're 12 and a half games out of first place. They've only played 24 games.
They're not good, man. That's
at this
not
pace,
a good
they'll
team.
Finish 81 games out of first place.
And that's unfortunate for that city because they deserve better. Or the state, I guess, because they're a state-named team. Kevin, I want to add one more.
Oh, there you go.
I want to add one more to this. Everybody needs to ask forgiveness from Jane Slater. Go check out her Twitter post yesterday, right before the draft, when she said, I've been tipped off that the Cowboys are seriously looking at a right guard.
Yeah.
And everybody else in media that was like, ha, and scoffed at her, probably should apologize today because she got that one right, man. And Jane has been more right or right a lot of times and not given the proper credit.
She tweeted out, hey, at least it wasn't Zabel. I know you guys would have hated that too. So, I mean, I guess.
I love that she does have a good, perspective on it when everybody's coming down on
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
And my pluckers, there was a bet that Eric Chiafalo was the drunkest of the group. We will find out how things went for him last night next on The Fan.